There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you all along. Another couple hours of live local talk, and obviously you know the way to get through to the show, but if you don't, that's fine. That's why I'm here. I'm the show host. I'm the phone number giver, the text line giver. 343-0106. 343-0106. It's a good number to have because this hour it's your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest, and you get a chance to ask the sheriff all kind of questions. And, you know, we've had questions that have been from, you know, sometimes I think a famous one would be like about speeding in certain areas. And people say, well, nobody ever pays attention. Next thing you know, they do pay attention. So it's your chance to get through to the sheriff of Mobile County. You can call him right now at 343-0106 or send us a text to the same number. And if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can use that talk back feature to leave us a message we can play back here on the air. And so, yeah, you hear this in my voice. Yesterday I was down and out. I'm barely up today. I don't know. So I was Sheriff Paul Birch, here he is. Hello.
Hey, good to be back.
Good to be back. We're talking about this, and obviously you got a lot of people that work in the sheriff's office. I don't know what this thing is I've got, but I've been talking to folks. Like, for me, it's not COVID, and now not running a fever. But I don't know if it's – I don't know what it is, but dang it, you're talking about an energy zapper. Because people were texting yesterday, why wouldn't I hear this and that? I got this thing, like, last week, and I can't shed this thing. It's like a – I just cough and cold, but my gosh, it feels like you're carrying ankle weights and arm weights when you're walking.
Well, I'm waiting on the plexiglass divider to get delivered.
Right, that's right. Well, that's why I have up to an hour and a half ago, I was 98.6, actually 98.7. So, but I'm kind of a hot natured person, so I'm good on that part. But yeah, we're working through today's show. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Not enough bourbon, but good to see you.
Well, that's the thing too. We got in that discussion, a friend of mine this weekend. Remember the old days? And moms would say, and my grandmother, who, like, bourbon would never be in her farmhouse except there was some hidden in a boot up in my grandfather's closet. She could, if God rest her soul, would ever know I said that. But that somehow there was no good for bourbon until somebody was sick. And then my grandmother's honey and bourbon was supposedly the, I think as kids it just gave us a little buzz and we said we felt better. I don't know.
Honey, bourbon, and lemon.
Yeah, it's supposed to fix everything. We'll see. I'm just short on the honey and the lemon, but we'll figure the rest of it out. Good to see you. Good to get you in here. And we delayed it, of course, last week. We happened to fall on Fat Tuesday, so we moved it to this week for a conversation. How was your Mardi Gras?
It was great. Had a good time. Rode with the posse for most of the parades, and it was great turnout. We had a few bad weather days, but the people still came out and had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I looked at those numbers for Fat Tuesday, and we're 200,000 plus. Pretty darn big turnout.
Yeah, I would say it was
beautiful.
Pretty close to that. You know, with the MOTs was a pretty large crowd.
Yes, they had big time on Saturday night, and then Joe Kane pretty well attended, even though the weather wasn't perfect. And then Fat Tuesday was big. I want to talk about this though. We go through the Mardi Gras and your gauge on the public safety side of Mardi Gras. What's your feeling? How did we do?
Yeah, we did great. There were no serious incidents. You know, other than the isolated shooting that was a domestic related shooting. You know, I say often Mobile PD has it almost down to a science, and of course we're there to supplement their manpower and assets.
But y'all were real visible too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have our certain areas that we have maintained for years, and you know, our command posts communicate with one another, and we back each other on any kind of calls for service. But you know, overall, from a public safety standpoint, you know, it was great Mardi Gras again. And again, can't say enough good things about Mobile PD and keeping everyone safe, along with the help of, and I got to give credit to state troopers early, they were there as well.
Yeah, so everybody was on site. I thought the same. But then here we go, after Mardi Gras, this last weekend, and here violence comes out, parade, Trinity Gardens, and it's back to gunplay.
It's, you know, it's like they feel like they have to play catch up. And you know, it's just sad that people can't work things out nowadays without a gun. And,
or they can't work it out without being in a crowd of other people.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I've said it before, and you know, I've been criticized for it, but you know, if a thug shoots another thug and that's what they choose to do, that's on them, as long as they don't endanger other people.
Mm-hmm. But the problem is, it doesn't seem to go down that way. Well, it does, but it also goes down in the crowd of
rarely.
Yes,
it's almost every time there's gunfire in a crowded setting, there's at least one, if not multiple, innocent people getting shot.
So no different, you know, I mean, we had this going down during the parade on Saturday. Got that situation happens, and that's just, you know, I guess I got through Mardi Gras with that one incident with the domestic, you know, that was bad. But then you go, okay, we got through it. All right. And then boom.
Yep.
I guess pun intended. All right. I went, saw the story Dana Dalton were talking about this morning, the press conference yesterday, about moving this HB 174, this bill, about shooting into occupied. And a lot was talked about this morning. A lot was talked about the press conference. If I remember correctly, though, it was a month or more ago that you said exactly that. You wanted this change. You talked about it here on the show.
I did. And again, at the time, Representative Drummond, you know, didn't want to be made known publicly that she was in support of it, and you know, some of her constituents are opposed to it, and they were vocal at the press.
Let me stop you, Sheriff. With due respect, somebody's opposed to a bill that would change the law around shooting into an occupied structure. Where are they coming from on that? What's the logic on that?
There is no logic. They're simply basing it on race. I mean, that's.
But the people shooting, the people getting shot, or I'll say the race, the black kids shooting into vehicles, into buildings that are shooting other black kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the terms that was told to me is it's just another mechanism to warehouse black men, was their words. And which makes no sense to me. I don't care what race you are, what age you are, where you come from. If you're shooting into somebody's house, you need to spend many, many years, if not the rest of your life, in prison.
Yeah, I don't know where, you know, there'll be opponents on things, and I do try to, doing this job for all these years, try to put myself in somebody else's shoes and see it and say, what am I missing? This one, I really don't understand it when you go, you know, well, we shouldn't have a penalty for that. We have dead and injured children throughout our city because of this.
Yeah, not just children, elderly people. You
elderly
got the
people
woman
too.
Who was praying in church and was shot and killed.
The level of that, yeah.
Yeah, and so there is no logic to the opposing side. You know, everyone's entitled to their opinions and their views, but there is no logic that applies to it. You know, one of the points I tried to make after being repeatedly asked about, you know, isn't murder a Class A felony?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. But the whole goal behind this bill, if someone's committing these type crimes, is to get them locked up before they kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're shooting into a house, and especially most of these people are not first-time offenders.
Right.
If we can get them locked up, sitting in jail where they belong, because they don't belong in society, then that prevents someone from being murdered.
And it's true, you know, you talk about for this kind of violent crime or property crimes that we get this idea when the reports come in that there's all these people doing these things, when in reality, it's some people doing it a lot, right? So if you make a change, MPD showed it, getting people off the street and dropping the violent crime numbers.
It is. That's a strategy that we've been using the last couple of years, you know, law enforcement as a whole. And you know, for lack of a better term, target these violent offenders because there's only 2-3% committing all these crimes. And if you can target them, make good cases on them, and lock their ass up and keep them in jail.
Yeah.
And that makes the community safer.
Yeah, I mean, that's just factual. If you take the people that are doing the shooting and put them where they can't be out shooting.
You can physically see crime stats when you arrest the right people mm-hmm. who are committing these type of crimes. You'll see a drastic downturn in the crimes that they've been committing.
Now, of course, this is something we talk about on the societal side. And, you know, I know talk about with John Young and Drew Ford about changing the culture going forward. But that doesn't happen overnight. When you lock these people up, which I agree with, is the people coming off the bench? Or are they, you know what I'm saying? Can you get them all, or are they just going to be replaced by somebody else? Not that you shouldn't, but I mean.
Well, that's part of it, too. If you can show that when you commit these kind of crimes, such as the shooting mm-hmm. and twos, that there are severe consequences, you know, hopefully that will deter some of the ones who may want to follow in those footsteps. You know, when they see their friend or their relative, well, he did this and now he's doing 25 years in prison,
mm-hmm.
that might not be a good idea. And so obviously the whole idea has changed the mindset of committing those types of crimes.
Just joining us, talking to Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Your questions at 343-0106, 343-0106. This texter says Louisiana's governor has a state of emergency for the shortage of police officers. How are things with our state?
Overall in the state, we're good. I think we're down less than 10 as far as
at the sheriff's
deputies
department?
At the sheriff's office.
I know PD was more than that, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that they're down significantly more, but you know that they are beginning to bring the numbers back up. You know, that's partly in due to I've tried to make a point not to hire as many mm-hmm. people away from the PD, and you know the ones I have hired recently have been retirees, so you know they were leaving anyway. So that I believe has helped.
So you're a little easier hand on selecting talent, we'll call it. There's other words for it.
You know, and the way I look at it, you know, my family lives in the city of Mobile, too, so you know, I'm in the county, but I want them to be protected in the city.
All right, coming right back, more with Sheriff Birch right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 12:22, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Give you a chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest this hour, 343-0106, gets your question on the telephone or the text line through. We'll run through a couple of these, Sheriff. This is kind of out of your jurisdiction, but Michael said, I've talked with Mobile Police, Mobile PD, about the speeding in the school zone in front of St. Ignatius on Spring Hill, but they said that they can't do anything about it. Is there anything the sheriff can do about everyone doing 40-plus in a 15-mile-per-hour school zone?
Yeah, well, I'll start with we don't have a traffic division, you know, and I can't put deputies deep within the city for traffic control, but I would suggest you know, call and ask with a traffic supervisor or call 311 with the city because they document every conversation and they follow up with you.
So there you go. You usually have some sort of, I mean, a school zone, you have somebody there. I know, I mean, the crossing guards.
Yeah, they're crossing guards, and typically they will lodge a complaint if they see, you know, a particular vehicle, you know, consistently speeding or multiple vehicles.
Jerry in Fort Morgan said, what's the problem with the law as it stands now? Is it that the DA is cutting deals or is the problem with the judges? I don't think you can make new laws for old problems. So about the shooting into Occupy. But there's a law. If it's not a law, the judge can want to do something, but if there's not a law to enforce.
Well typically.
Yeah, explain it.
Typically, you know, and this is just all around the country and even here at home. Let's just say someone's charged with shooting into a house. You know, it's a Class B felony, and it'll typically get pled down to a Class C felony. If a defendant wants to plead, and that's what their attorney wants to do, you know, the DA and the judge is probably going to accept it because that they can clear off that case and move mm-hmm. to the next one. You know, and that's not saying anything derogatory about the judge or the prosecutor. That's just.
But you're talking about moving it to a Class A.
A Class A, there, you know, is. If they're convicted of a Class A, that is 20 years to life. And so, you know, obviously there is the option to plead it down to Class B, but that's, you know.
But at least it's not going to Class C.
Correct. And it's
so
just.
So it's giving more, this is adding teeth to something that's already on the books.
A lot more teeth, and, you know, it gives the judge an opportunity to really look at that person's history, because it, Class A is a no-bond offense until a judge sees it. And so it gives more time for the judge and prosecutor to look at their history and then make a reasonable determination on bond.
In the press conference, too, yesterday you all had discussing the specific bill, HB 157, I think it is, right? So people who want this, there's something specific to call their member of the legislature, because this has got to go through in Montgomery.
Yeah, it's a statewide
people forget
bill.
This. Yeah, yeah. Forget the, you know, that this is, while we're talking about it for here, this is applying all over the state of Alabama.
Correct.
So make sure you let you, if you want this,
please contact your legislators, your senators, and you know, tell them you're in support of it. You know, it's all about making our community safer.
People talking about the amount of shootings that are done with guns that are stolen guns out there. Is this play in any way with the permitless carry or not having to have a concealed carry permit? I mean, because I will argue, people say, well, the concealed carry permit, back in that discussion, the bad guy doesn't care if they have a concealed carry permit or not. I mean, they're already a bad guy.
That's right, and it's always been that way. You know, bad guy's going to carry a gun regardless of what the law says. Now, they may be a bit more reluctant to publicly and openly carry it, you know, but the way it is now, let's just say, you know, we have a drive-by shooting.
Okay.
Law enforcement could have stopped that vehicle 30 minutes an hour before that and seen all the guns in the car sitting on it. And unless there's an underlying crime, we can't even ask them about the guns. You know, we know that they're up to no good. But they don't have to have a permit for it. And so it ties our hands in a way that we're able to get a lot more illegal guns off the street. And I want to stress illegal guns. You know, that's, I believe in that every law-abiding citizen who wants to carry a gun should carry a gun and to protect themselves and their family. It's the illegal guns.
Or the person who has that gun illegally. The gun may be, yes. I want to get an update, too. Something Jason had texted in, we talked about a couple months ago. Said, has there been any improvements with Pritchard PD, and is the Sheriff's Department still active there? Remember a few months ago, the number of cases y'all made there were unreal.
I'll pass on the improvement question, but we are still there. We're very much present there. And some of it is their manpower, but we get so many calls, to include myself personally, because I, you know, anybody who wants my cell number can easily get it. And they call me personally they don't get help. They call and these are residents of Pritchard.
Mm-hmm.
And call for help, and if the PD shows up, it might be 2 or 3 days later, you know, depending on type crime.
Wow.
And so, you know, do I think that's, you know, I think that's terrible service. You know, they're being paid for service, but in the end, they're still residents of Mobile County, and I'm going to do my part to protect them the best I can.
Yeah, that's one thing that I guess gets lost, is that your job is the entire county, even though there's municipalities over top that. At a certain point, it does default to you, right, if the municipality is not doing it.
It does. And one thing I learned when I was campaigning, and it was just it was strange to me to hear it, there were so many people, and I mean, you know, educated professional people, who thought that because they lived in a particular jurisdiction, they couldn't vote in a countywide race.
Right.
They're like, oh, I'd love to vote for you, but I live in Chicksaw.
Right. You're like,
you can't.
Yeah, it's Mobile County.
Yeah.
If we looked at those, I had a buddy who did this in college, GIS maps, right? So the bottom, you know, the first layer is the Sheriff's Department. Yep. You're responsible for the entirety of the, and then on top of that, you put in the municipalities.
That's correct.
All right. Coming back, more questions from you for Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, 343-0106. We'll be right back.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Ron, how are we looking in gold and silver, platinum, palladium? What are the prices doing this week?
Metals have been stable or on the rise this week so far. So far, so good. Still very affordable time to set up a hedge or start investing in gold or silver. Come by the shop. You don't have to make a purchase. We offer free instructional tutoring on some for people that have no idea what they're doing before they actually spend their first dollar. It's always a good idea to how to tell whether or not something's authentic, so on and so forth. So, I mean, great time to buy, and we offer a lot of services like that for people if they're kind of just wanting to get into it, but they're not sure how to start.
Yeah, I would take it ripped from today's headlines kind of stuff. It's been over the last month or two. There have been several cases where people bought precious metals online, and they're not precious metals. They're not gold. They're not silver.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Facebook, Instagram, all those. If you see a Silver Eagle on sale for $10, then it's too good to be true. It's probably not true, right? Because all those ones are made in China and they're not real. I don't know how they get away with doing that over and over again, but a lot of fakes out there. So yeah, educate yourself and try to ascertain how to figure out if something's real. It's actually pretty easy. With a few minutes of instructions, we can teach most people how to tell authentic from fake.
Yeah, y'all taught me. And the beauty is, too, that not all, like, different precious metals. Everybody thinks gold, 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 and that's one of the four we're talking about. But, you know, early on, you're like, hey, look at silver. And silver has a margin compared to gold. And, you know, you want to invest this much money. Maybe silver's a better move now than gold is. I mean, there's subtlety to this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you can go with the less expensive one like silver and then save it up and then come back in and just trade metal for metal. As long as you bought the stuff from us, we'll trade you spot for spot down the road. We have a lot of people that start small and then when it moves to gold, they start with 1 ounce silver or something in silver and then eventually trade for gold when they have saved up enough.
All right. People want to get that education from y'all and also check out what's in the shop. How do they find you?
We're located at 2204 Government Street, Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com. Or just come by the shop and check it out. And we've got some cool new certified treasure artifacts in from the Atosha and from El Cazador. So a lot of people in this area like shipwreck-related things. So come on by the shop or posting them on Instagram right now.
There's still stuff from the Atosha out there that people can buy?
There's still stuff. We bought a collection. A guy collected shipwreck-related stuff when we bought them. They have all the COAs and they're already in bezels and chains. He bought them as is when they all have COAs and a bunch of information about what day they were recovered, when they were found, all that stuff. So pretty cool stuff. Even if you don't want to buy it, come by and take a look at it.
I think I will. Ron, we'll see you soon.
See you, buddy.
All right, there goes Ron checking in for Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Continue our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Your chance to ask the sheriff. Couple things here from the text line here. Somebody says here, I always see Pritchard Police Tahoe's helping with traffic control in Mobile and Baldwin County. Seems like they serve a better purpose staying in their city, helping their citizens. I don't know what that is.
That'd be working side jobs.
Okay.
So they do work for a lower rate a lot of times. So some of these companies would utilize them rather than, say, Mobile PD or the sheriff's office or the state.
Thinking about what's going on in Montgomery right now, we talked about HB 157, but what about, I don't know the bill, but you and I had talked about it before, being able to train officers here. Wasn't it like that there was, other than MPD, there was not a, you had to go up to Birmingham or Montgomery or something to train? What?
Yeah, that's not a bill.
Okay.
But I believe we do have that worked out.
And explain that to folks, what we're talking about.
So Mobile PD is not a regional academy, and something happened years ago where they're, and I don't know what happened, but they were no longer allowed to be a regional academy. But Chief Prine and some others have gone up to Montgomery several times, and I've signed, all the chiefs and sheriffs around signed letters of support that, to allow them to be a regional academy again. So that would save the taxpayers a lot of money, where we don't have to house them either in Selma or Jefferson
Selma,
County. There's Montgomery, Selma, and Jefferson County. And so when you send them those places, you have to pay for housing and per diem and all that.
Versus having it done here at home.
Versus having it done here. And it also, I believe, helps with recruiting, where if you've got a young man or woman who wants to get in law enforcement, but they don't necessarily want to leave their family for 10 weeks, that they can stay here and still be with their family in the evenings and weekends. And I think that's a big incentive to recruit. And I don't know when that'll happen. I hope in the upcoming months. I know y'all aware of, you know, the issues of where the Mobile Police Academy is sitting on. You know, there's some, you know, controversy over that. So I think they have to find a new facility at some point. And I don't know.
What's that controversy of the?
Supposedly it's sitting on top of an old cemetery. And
is it really?
I read some articles months ago about that. So I can't say that's a fact, but you know, you hear people talk about it, and there were writings about it. So,
To dig into that, so that might have to move.
Literally.
Yeah, dig into it. She's funny, too. Think about what's going on in Montgomery as well. Is there any additional legislation going into the funding of sheriff's departments? People remember when the permitless carry, when that happened, there was written in there that there would be a make good for the 67 sheriff's departments of the state for the money that they did not receive from concealed carry permits. And I've been tracking this with you. Y'all have not exactly been made whole.
No, not even close. But we are in discussions with several of the legislators who I think want to make it right, and certainly the money's there. You know, just for example, you know, just if say of a $240,000 loss in a quarter, we might get $60,000 as a reimbursement.
But the language of the bill, I don't have it in front of me, did
reimburse.
Say reimburse. So yeah, it would be the full 240, but you're getting 60.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just you. The other sheriff's departments are dealing with this too?
Yes. Yeah. And I'll say we are much more fortunate than a lot of the other, you know, sheriff's offices around the state. You know, our county commission is really good to us and, you know, have helped us, you know, with the budget and adding, you know, monies for more vehicles and for more personnel. Yeah, but they have other departments within the county that they have to fund as well.
Right.
But they have been very gracious in helping us, but it's still not enough, you know, to safely run the sheriff's office. That pays for a lot of training, pays for vehicles that are not funded, and, you know, we're in a bind. You know, I've got right at, I think, 41, 42 vehicles with 250,000 miles, and that's just not safe for someone to operate. And you know, budget wise, I think we can buy about 30, and we could actually have 30 on the way.
Is it is getting vehicles gotten any easier from
No. It's, you know, we're still told, you know, and I don't mind saying I look at it almost as General Motors is participating in defunding the police, and I'll say that repeatedly. You know, they're making all the luxury vehicles and putting, you know, they call government vehicles on the back burner. Well, those are vehicles for public safety. And, you know, they're telling us, you know, 2 years, you know, 18 months to 2 years before we can get any.
Wow. And you've got some that are 240,000 miles, yeah, and you're looking at that time.
So we've had to order some Ford trucks that with the police package.
Okay.
We should have those in next month. That's about 30 of them. And so if you see sheriff's office, you know, marked sheriff's office trucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because we're trying to do anything crazy. It's because that's all we can get.
That's okay. Well, I like the real world stuff, yeah, so people understand what's happening. Tim says, is there a way that we can donate to the sheriff's department to make sure they get all the money that we donate? And this goes back to the concealed carry permit thing, too, because still, if you want to travel out of state and all that, you know, I'm a concealed carry permit holder. People are still getting them. You said there was some nuance in that. How much went to Montgomery? How much came back here?
Yeah, I mean, the 1 to 5 year still goes to the sheriff's office. If you get the lifetime permit, it now goes 100% of it goes to the general fund in Montgomery. So, you know, we're basically, you know, selling your permit.
5 years at a time. Is if we want to make sure that money goes as much of it possible to our sheriff's department, don't do the lifetime, buy 1 to 5s.
That would be my ask, of course.
And well, no, because people don't know that unless you tell them. So, so if they get the lifetime, because, I mean, usually people go, the easier thing, just the lifetime, never think about it. But that goes 100% to the general fund. If we do the 1 to 5s.
It stays home.
This texter says, did the sheriff's office stop working traffic for funerals?
We did. That and that was not, you know, something we wanted to do. The county commission's insurance was with some changes with A-Post and combined with county commission's insurance, they were no longer going to cover, funeral escorts. And because it is a dangerous, task, because you're, mm-hmm. you're leapfrogging, blocking intersections. And so that was, something that we just had no choice but not to do. Most of those participating in those were reserves, and because we can't pull off people off the street to run
that,
funeral homes.
Right.
And I didn't want to pay people overtime.
So, right.
Yeah, and so reserves were doing it, and they just, insurance said they would no longer cover the sheriff's office or the deputies if something were to happen. So.
All right, coming right back, more with Sheriff Paul Birch right here on Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. And your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest this hour. And obviously, coming up very soon, March 5th, as you hear in about half the ads that are running on our station right now, it's primary day. So, you're... We have a law enforcement world, but you're also somebody who has run for office.
I have, and I can never emphasize enough, get out and vote. Regardless of who you vote for, get out and vote. And because turnout seems to be getting lower and lower with each election. And, that's one of our God-given rights.
Yeah, I mean, not to get too much. No, yeah, I'm going to climb up on the stump here for a second. And it's interesting that the number of people that say, well, they're going to go to the polls because of what happens in Washington, and not to take away from the importance in Washington, but what happens right here at home in your municipality, your county, your state, are the things that most impact you. And it seems like this audience has been great. They're engaged, but get much outside this audience. It's the only thing they think about is what they see at night, the debate on the cable news shows, not what goes on at home.
Right. That or Facebook or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's the little snippets that they see. But, I encourage everybody, be engaged and, educate yourself on your candidate mm-hmm. or on all the candidates, then make a decision. Make an educated decision. But make the effort to get out and vote. It really, overall, might take you 30 minutes out of your day.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't vote, you can't complain. Well, some do, but supposed to.
That's right. But local races impact you a lot more than what goes on in D.C.
Yep, and hopefully that change is coming. But yeah, y'all get out. I agree with you. I second that. This is interesting that we talked about during the news break, the fentanyl situation here. I haven't seen as many news stories for bust. I don't know what happens behind the scenes. What is happening?
We have seen our narcotics division has not slowed down, but we have seen a decrease in the amount of fentanyl being seized.
Okay.
Now, whether that's, they're hiding it better, mm-hmm. we don't know. But along with that, I'll say the overdoses have significantly decreased.
It's a positive.
I think a lot of it is, when the fentanyl bill passed and when it really hit the scene here, our prosecutors and our judges realized how deadly and how impactful it was on our community, and those who were dealing in large quantities that we were able to catch are still sitting in jail. And because it's a very serious crime, and they err on the side of protecting our community, and I think that's made a difference.
Yeah, I mean, so it does go back to this idea that if you take these certain players, whether it be the violent crimes or the fentanyl or the combination of both, off the street, then you see a change.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, our district attorney, Keith Blackwood, and I talk often. And that is one of the things, if we call one of his ADAs and it concerns fentanyl, he's going to get involved personally, and he is going to fight to keep that person off the street.
And so hopefully that continues in a one-off. Because it's still obviously coming in the country. Maybe even it's coming through here, but maybe not staying here. The whole the I-10 to I-65 pipeline.
Yeah, I mean that we know that's how it's coming. It's coming primarily across our southern border, and you know, there's a better effort now to stop it, but previously, you know, they just walk across with it. They could probably walk across carrying it openly in their hands and nothing would have been done.
At least something's changed, at least here at home.
Here at home, yes.
All right. You mentioned this, that numbers were pretty good with the Sheriff's Department right now for recruitment, but how is that, you know, going forward? I mean, it could be today, but are y'all looking, I mean, looking at what, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years down the road? How, what are y'all doing to be in front of that?
Well, we're still, you know, ongoing recruitment. We know we've had to add a few more positions to account for several jurisdictions pulling back their police jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had to add deputies for that. We anticipate even more in the near future. Mobile police are going to be pulling theirs back in increments over the next probably 4 or 5 years. And that's going to be a significant increase.
Because that could be the most number of deputies you have, right? I mean, that's the most highly populated areas in the county where most city of Mobile pulls back.
Yeah, I think the latest estimates we looked at, we would probably have to hire 30 to 40 deputies. And that
overall, how many deputies now on staff?
Right at 200.
So
that's just deputies, and then we have about the same in corrections officers.
But 30 or 40, that's significant.
Very significant. And on top of that, you know, I've been in discussion with some of our lobbyists. You know, they've found more money in the education fund that may can be used to add additional school resource deputies. And you know, I want to, we have 12 in the high schools that rotate around to the feeder schools, but I would love to have one in every middle school as well, you know, in the near future.
Do you think that funding comes here?
I think some of it will. And again, it'll be gradual. It's not, you know, I can't hire that many deputies that fast.
Right.
But we will.
Because right now, for people to, you said it before, but okay, you have, let's say you have this deputy assigned to this high school, but they also travel to the feeder pattern, what would be
middle schools and elementary. And occasionally elementaries. But
okay, so there was like, whatever that be, vertically integrated or whatever the, so they'd be responsible for that chain going through.
So for instance, when the shooting happened at Vigor,
right.
That deputy had just left and went to the middle school, which was a mile and a half away.
Gotcha.
And was getting out of his car to go make his rounds there when that shooting popped off. So he got back in a minute.
Okay.
But, you know, he was leaving to go check on the middle school.
But if you had the funding, would you have had, there'd be one at that middle school and one at Vigor High School?
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, so you got 12. I mean, how many schools are we talking about, though? I mean, there's a whole.
I don't know the number of middle schools off the top of my head. There are a total of 91 schools in the public school system.
Okay.
And, you know, I would hope if more funding is available that maybe some of the municipalities where these schools are seated, you know, would mm-hmm. be able to participate. You know, a lot of them don't because of money.
Right.
And which equates to manpower.
Well, that's what people are saying right here. I was going to ask you, if we might run out of time, but this texter says the lottery could pay for the extra deputies in schools.
Absolutely. I think, you know, there are several gaming bills, you know, in Montgomery, and there are some in which, you know, the Alabama Sheriff's Association is in support of.
Okay.
And you know, part of it will go, you know, to law enforcement to help with these type things. So, you know, as we know, you know, when a bill is submitted, there's no telling what it's going to look like after it goes through several committees. So.
Yeah, well, you know, because we got a big discussion last week of what came out of the House. It moved so quickly coming out of the House, and people are really getting in the details on that. And I said, well, just wait a second, because the Senate's going to have to take it up through the whole process again. Who knows what it's going to look like when it gets through
like
there.
It'll look like Swiss cheese when it's done.
Yeah, it's very funny, too. I know you watch Montgomery Politics. In the past, I'm thinking back 2 years ago or 3 years ago, Del Marsh's bill comes out of the Senate easily, goes in the House, and falls apart. This time, comes out of the House real fast, and the tires may come off this thing in the Senate.
Yep.
Even though it seems like the general discussion, look at the text line, and we're going to talk about it next hour here, people think it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, I'm already in a back and forth with Jeff Poore about where I think they would move the casino in Mobile, but I think that's cart before the horse.
It really is, and there are so many, I guess, sub-politics mm-hmm. to this bill and to those involved in the gaming industry. And you know, I wouldn't want to be part of any of those meetings because those are going to be some high rollers.
That's for sure. Sheriff, as always, great to see you. If people want to get more info about what y'all are doing or any questions, where do they go?
MobileSO.com. And if I can say one more time, get out and vote March 5th.
There you go. Appreciate it. Thank you, Sheriff Birch.
Thank you.
Coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.